I'm in the market for a new phone, mainly because I miss how great the Samsung Fold 4 was. And if you remember, the hinge kind of died on me. Which is why Samsung actually invited us out to their Unpacked event today to take a look at their Flip and their Fold 7, which is the one that I am most interested in. Because their biggest marketing point on it was just how thin the device is, and they are not kidding. When it's folded, it is about as thick as the S25 Ultra was that just came out a couple months ago. But when it's unfolded, it is almost impossible to describe how it feels and looks when you're using it. Being this thin, when I actually picked it up for the first time, it actually scared me when I started opening it because of how it feels when it finally snaps into place. It was a fear I had on my Fold 4 as well, is you have to use a lot of effort and it feels unnatural. The good news is they've made some upgrades, at least to the hinge. It's called their Armor Flex hinge, which uses a water droplet design and multi-rail structure system. It allows it to also get thinner, but also removes some of the crease that you see on that folding screen. I never actually had an issue with that crease, at least when content was on all the older devices, but even when it's off, you have to catch the light just right to see the actual crease. But if you catch the light where you can't see it, it looks really, really impressive. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself talking about the inside screen. Let's start from the outside and work our way in. The outside screen now is a 21:9 aspect ratio, very similar to just a standard slab phone. Because if you remember, the old folding phones were actually a little bit thinner, which now that I have it in my hand, this might be as wide as I would want this phone to be. Because one of the things I really liked about my Fold 4 was the one-handed typing experience with it being so thin. It's easier now to type with two hands, which the Fold 4 struggled with because it was so thin. I think it's a trade-off that is going to be a personal preference up to you. It's still that great dynamic AMOLED display that Samsung has been known for on some of their phones, with the only thickness being added to this phone actually on the inside screen. It's about 50% thicker, which hopefully leads to less scratches, less other damage to the screen. And on the outside, it's still using their Victus and Corning glasses. So if you were to give it a quick bang on the table, hopefully it won't break. I won't do that because there's a lot of people watching me right now. As impressed as I am with the feel and how thin and light this thing is, it is 24 grams lighter than last year's. It still has my biggest pet peeve with phones. Look at the size of that camera bump. It's another half of a phone on top of it. It will never lay flat on your table unless you turn it upside down. But powering the phone is the Snapdragon 8 Elite 4 Galaxy. Specifically, they were very keen on that in the presentation. It's for Galaxy. It's faster, it does more AI, it's for the phone. They did say it'll give you 24 hours of video playback though on a single charge. How that translates to day-to-day use of playing games or having the big screen open and doing multitasking, I don't know. I hope it'll get you through a whole day. But the multitasking features seem really good and they seem to be a big focus again this year when they were talking about it. They talked about things such as floating widgets. So if you have your screen open on Google and someone texts you, moving the text messages around to navigate the data you're looking at or whatever other applications you want. They went a little hard on the AI this year, just like everyone else. My favorite quote they actually said was, "Remove unwanted things like people from your photos." That's kind of funny. It is also the first Samsung device that's shipping with Android 16 out of the box. And they promised 7 years of generational software updates and 7 years of security updates as well. Once again, that relies on if this hinge can hold up for 7 years. If it can, that's fantastic. But if I have to swap this out or get it repaired after 2 years, that's not great. Speaking of repair, one of the things that they did bring up was they wanted to improve the ability for users to repair their own devices. They didn't go any further into detail what that meant. I don't know if that means replacement parts on their store that you can buy, or if their certified partners are going to be able to repair it themselves. If that becomes an available feature in any capacity that makes the user experience better, I am all on board for that. Especially if I have to repair these lenses because I'm putting it down and getting it clipped on everything. But I do want to take a look at the camera quality. Wow, it opens selfie mode, and my God, do I really look like this today? It's a beautiful photo. We don't want to look at the selfie cam though, we want to look at the outside cam, which is now a 200 megapixel main camera. That's the same as the S25 Ultra. They also have a 10 megapixel telephoto lens and a 12 megapixel ultra wide lens. And hopefully whatever AI upscaling features they have for their photos as well will just make that even better. Let's take a look on that one. Let's do the ultra wide. Whoa, I went right in onto that guy's face. I am so sorry. I did 30x and it pointed right at someone's face. Let's zoom out a little bit. Let's try 20x. Right away on the wide lens, it's very impressive. I mean, I'm not in the greatest conditions. I'm shooting through a glass window. But even when I pinch zoom all the way in onto this one guy holding a phone, I can tell that there is upscaling and resolution work in order to get a crisp outline around his arm. But for most people who are gonna look at this, if they wanted to like take a photo of a really far menu away and then zoom in, they're probably gonna be able to read that with just fine clarity. With the ultra wide, same thing, I'm able to pinch zoom quite in depth all the way up to a certain point, and then you can really see where the imaging around people's shoulders and it's trying to make a nice crisp line comes in, and it kinda is too much in my opinion. But I also think if you're taking a photo on ultra wide and then pinch zooming this far in, that's kind of on you. And then as for the 20x zoom, which was one of just the default options, that is a billboard all the way across this giant warehouse. Pretty great, actually. I actually thought it was a real person at first. Oh, it's a TV. Oh, whatever it is, it looks really good. I pulled up our Arri HDR demo footage, at least on the outside screen here first. And man, it is really impressive. It is very bright in this room just in general, and I can still see everything very clear. Again, I'm not a fan of hole punch camera designs. I wish they would just go to an underscreen camera anyways, especially because I feel that the amount of people that use this camera is pretty low. Because if you want to take a selfie, one of the best features is you could open it up and use your main camera to take a selfie and see yourself. It makes me wonder if they should just get rid of the camera on this outside screen and instead only have a camera on the inside screen, because you want the big screen if you're doing like a video call with someone, right? And when you're in the full screen on YouTube, it's a little strange. It doesn't take away from the fact though that this screen looks incredible. We are indoors again, bright situation. Man, I miss the big screen on a fold. I don't know if this is the one I should get though. I really want a folding phone again. We're gonna play some Crab Rave because I'm a little scared with how thin this thing is that the speakers are gonna be compromised now, but. It's the same opinion I have with all phones. It's very impressive for its size. I would never listen to this thing on full volume though. I feel like I need to crank it down to almost half before the speakers don't start to sound distorted or crackling to me. Which, I don't know, maybe if you're in a big room of people and you just want to quickly show them a video, it's fine. But consuming media on speakers, I don't think I would personally. Glenn just asked where the speakers are actually located. Got it. Okay, so they're in the bottom half here. So if I was holding it, yeah, I'm muffling the speakers. I didn't even like realize that now. Oh, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I don't think they can put it up here though, because just look how much room there is for the USB-C. It's the entire like thickness of this thing. I mean, because of the increased screen size, it's almost a perfect square. So maybe you could hold it like this so that way you're not blocking the speakers. But then I have like top and bottom channel. I don't know. It's still awesome to use in this form factor as the wide screen. You zoom all the way in. Holy crap, I'm 8x zoomed on Crab Rave. It's just a dark cave. Is this the folding phone that's gonna bring me back into the foldables market? I don't know. It's $2,000 for 256 gigs of storage, and it can go all the way up to 1 terabyte of storage, which has 16 gigs of RAM as well. I don't know if the thinness is a selling factor for me or if it makes me a little nervous with the hinge and the extra camera bump, but I am very impressed with how far Samsung has come, especially even just in the last couple of years, going back to my 4 or even back to 2019 with the Fold 1. But let me know what you guys think down below. If you guys enjoyed this video, go check out the Flip 7. That one either just came out before this video or just after this one. I don't know the order Bell's releasing these in.